You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 all.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team, every day. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Reen Fiends, back together with Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Vince. I want you to know you're not a parent yet, but you're getting good practice for parenting by doing this podcast with me. A little behind the scenes for our listeners. Twice in the last couple of weeks, we have gotten about 8 or 9 minutes into the podcast, only to discover that I've forgotten to hit record on my side, and so we've had to start over. And so now Vince gets to talk to me like I'm a child before we start every time. Now, Jeffrey, have you pushed the record button? Are you sure you're recording, Jeffrey? So, Vince, I just want you to know you're going to make an excellent father.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. Patient and long-suffering.
Patience is definitely something of one of my strong suits.
Well, good.
But yeah, Jeff, we are here. We put out a call for questions, so we're going to be answering those questions on today's episode. But before we get into that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers, wherever you get your podcasts. When you get in your car, if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. Before we hop into these questions real quick, MLB officially rejected the proposal from the Players Union of the 114-game season. And then they said that they would start talking about kind of the shorter season that they had already kind of mentioned. Anyways, but Jeff, you had an interesting point on why they will not submit an official counter. They will just start talking about a completely different idea.
Yeah, I'm not a labor lawyer, but there's a guy named Eugene Friedman on Twitter and other places, and I heard him. He was on the Effectively Wild podcast last week talking about this, and he made a point that I think I understood, and I'm going to kind of present it as well as I think I understood it. But basically, the reason MLB has to say we are not issuing a counter proposal, even though it's followed by something dumb like we're just going to come up with another proposal, which is the definition of a counter proposal. But basically, if MLB officially offers a counter proposal, that is viewed legally as a negotiation. And there are parts of the March agreement that MLB does not want to be seen to be legally negotiating, because officially negotiate those things, basically the March agreement goes out the window. And so basically, because MLB wants to retain the right to start or to unilaterally declare how long the season is going to be, you know, MLB could say tomorrow, okay, we're having a 30-game season and it starts on August 3rd. And the players would have to play based on the March agreement as long as MLB paid them the full prorated salary for those 30 games. And so obviously that's a stick that MLB wants to continue the ability to wield in these negotiations or non-negotiations, however you want to look at it, because MLB can always come back to the players and say, look, guys, if you don't agree to this, then we're just going to do a 40-game season and you're only going to get 40 games worth of pay. So take it or leave it, chumps. And so that's why MLB has to say we are not offering a counterproposal, so that they are officially on record as not negotiating the things in the March agreement that they don't want to give up, if that makes sense.
The little things, yeah, it makes sense to me. The little things you don't know, and why semantics are a big part of laws in general and things of this nature. So that's interesting. All right, Jeff, let's get into these questions. We put out a call. We got a good amount of questions, a little bit of different stuff. So we'll go with we'll save this one for later. We'll go with one that's a one-off from Jeff Carr, host of Locked On Red. He wants to know our current opinion of Josiah Gray and what we think his future value will be to the team.
Yeah, Josiah Gray is maybe the most intriguing prospect to me. Especially, I mean, if you don't consider Dustin May and Tony Gonsolin prospects anymore, I think Josiah Gray is right there at the top of my most intriguing prospects, because he's excelled everywhere since he went pro. He with the Reds in 2018 in their minor leagues and rookie league, he was solid, and then he's just basically gotten better since he came to the Dodgers. And he pitched at three levels last year, from A to double A, and he just gets better and better. And I've seen him pitch in person. He has great stuff. He seems to have great makeup. He's very mature. He's young. He's only 22 and a half years old. Just everything about Josiah Gray excites me. And I think we're talking number two starter potential, I think.
Yeah. And I think for me, or at least for some fans, the kind of the best part of Josiah Gray is that he kind of is a freebie, like a free prospect. I mean, the Dodgers trade, yes, they moved some salary around. They didn't really give up anyone of too much value, long-term value. Sorry to Kyle Farmer, but, he just didn't fit on the Dodgers. They ended up getting Alex Wood back, and then they ended up requiring Mookie Betts with one of the other players in that trade, Jeter Downs. So I think based on all that, it makes it even more fun. And obviously, the Dodgers have a lot of strong young pitching, Walker Buehler, Dustin May, Tony Gonsolin, Julio Urias. And just thinking of a five-man rotation of homeborn pitchers in a year or two is also very exciting. So, yeah, Josiah Gray, right now he's definitely an intriguing and fun prospect to think about. And, yeah, like I said, number two starter potential, even though in this potential Dodger rotation he might be a three or a four, just based on, nothing against him, just based on who's above him.
Yeah, absolutely. I see every once in a while I'll see tweets about people saying the Dodgers' window of contention is closing. And I think that's just habit. People just assume that contention windows only last a certain amount of time. But the Dodgers are not showing any signs of that contention window closing, especially if they remain willing to spend money. They're going to have to pay Cody Bellinger. If they want to keep Corey Seager, they're going to have to pay him. Although, I could definitely see them letting Seager walk at some point and, moving Gavin Lux over to shortstop. The talent pipeline with guys like Josiah Gray is pretty exciting.
Yeah, it really is. All right. We'll handle the rest of the questions. Let's talk about Built Bar real quick. Built Bar are great tasting protein bars. What else do you need to know? That's a sell in itself. Not only are they great tasting, they are healthy for you, or healthier than other protein bars. They got a lot of protein. They got low sugar, low carbs. And, you can pretty much eat one whenever you really want. If you need a quick pick-me-up, if you want it pre-workout, post-workout, maybe just even a snack that's, better than busting open a Twix bar or something like that. And get yourself a Built Bar. And right now you can get $10 off with the promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com. That's promo code LOCKEDON, BuiltBar.com, $10 off. And keep it locked on Dodgers. All right, Jeff, let's get into our obscure former Dodger. So part of the time machine that Locked On Network has been doing, we did 1985 the other day. We did a few years last year. Today, 1995. And this obscure former Dodger was a Dodger two separate times. He was on the 94 Dodgers, 95 Dodgers, and then joined them again in 2007. And that's Rudy Cienes. Rudy Cienes played 17 years in the big leagues for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different teams. Like I said, two stints with the Dodgers. Nothing, too amazing, but solid, I guess, enough for a reliever. And yeah, he's probably more well-known for pitching against the Dodgers than he is for pitching for the Dodgers. He was the one who gave up the home run to Nomar in the 4+1 game. Am I correct?
You are correct.
Yeah, so that's kind of his, I guess, more of a Dodger claim to fame than anything else. But yeah, he was drafted in the fourth round in 1986 by the Indians. Had a long career. And that's all I really got on Rudy Cienez. But Jeff, you got anything?
The only other thing I have on Rudy Cienez is when I was in high school, I was the editor of my high school newspaper, and I wrote a little goofy sports column that when I look back and read them, it was pretty insufferable. I was definitely a teenager. But one of the things I did on a regular basis was predict, before the start of a baseball season, I would predict postseason awards. And I predicted Rudy Cienez to be the Rookie of the Year. Yeah, going into 94, because he had already pitched like in four seasons in the big leagues, but he was still a rookie. And in 1993, I had seen him. He did something in a game I watched that impressed me, struck out the side or something. No, he only had one strikeout in 1993, but at some point I had seen Rudy Cienez do something that impressed me. And so when I was just making up my Rookie of the Year prediction, I predicted Rudy Cienez, and I was not correct.
Yeah, Jeff, but he had a decent 94
season. He was good in 94.
It's not, but not all bad.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the rest of our questions. I'll ask the next one, and then we can go back and forth after that. I'll put a couple together on this one. We talked about it a little bit, but you know, maybe some ideas have changed. This one from at McCall Gordian, I play on Michael Jordan, and from Damien at the Real D-Boy 12, basically asking about Mookie Betts. Will Mookie sign, and what would be price in years you would go for Mookie? And Damien adds, knowing you have Cody Buehler, Seager contracts coming up.
Yeah, I really still believe that Mookie Betts will be a Dodger beyond 2020. I just have a hard time seeing, even before all of this, the Dodgers were the only super logical spot, because they're the only rich team, the only team that's rich enough and in need enough to go after him. And now I think some of the teams are going to be even less rich, and obviously the Dodgers will be less rich too, but I think they're likely to be less affected. And so I think Betts will remain. And as for how much, I think, you know, the Dodgers might end up getting lucky, get a little discount on this because of the downturn in revenue. Maybe it only takes $250 million over, you know, 8 years or something to get Mookie Betts. But ultimately, I don't think it matters too much. You know, you have guys coming up who are going to get paid, but Kershaw's contract is going to come off the books at some point, whether he stays with the team at a lesser contract or leaves or retires or whatever, we don't really know. But, you know, they're going to pay Bellinger. Like I said, I don't know about Seager, but I would think Bellinger and Buehler, they're going to pay. I would love to see them. Bellinger's represented by Boris, and so an extension before he hits free agency probably isn't likely with him. Buehler, maybe it's more of a possibility. But I don't think they're going to worry too much about that when they're signing Betts, because they're, for the most part, this front office is pretty smart about not giving out albatross contracts, and the Dodgers are one of the richest teams in baseball, and so I don't think they're going to let a long-term contract for Betts keep them from signing Bellinger or Buehler. And so I think they'll pay Betts what the market will bear. Probably not quite what he would have gotten before, but then I think he'll still be a Dodger.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a Dodger too. Just kind of what we laid out last time. There's not a lot of teams that are going to have that kind of money to spend. You know, I think both sides might, you know, depending on how this year plays out, I think both sides might feel a little bit of, you know, you feel like you need to see what would have happened or what it could be like, or, you know, in a normal year. And not that that's going to prompt anyone to spend $250 to $300 million, but it might. And with the Dodgers, yeah, like I said, I don't think they're going to worry too much. You know, they've already got Muncy down for a couple years. They got Taylor down for a couple more years. They have, you know, a seemingly never-ending pipeline of talent coming through. And you got to remember that they've done a lot of this stuff the last 7 years with basically sometimes paying guys to not play. Carl Crawford was making $20 million a year to not do anything. Matt Kemp, you know, was getting paid to be on other teams or not do anything. Or Adrian Gonzalez, even in the last year or so, year or two of his deal, you know, wasn't getting paid what he would deserve. So the Dodgers have had bad contracts and still had good teams. Now they can have better contracts with better talent and still have good teams regardless.
Yeah, and to be fair, not all contracts that don't work out are bad contracts. You know, like I was going to mention Brandon McCarthy and Scott Kazmir both got paid, and Brad Anderson for that matter, they all got paid quite a bit of money to be injured. And but the fact is those weren't necessarily bad contracts. They were risky contracts, you know, and that's the kind of contracts a team like the Dodgers can take on, because a guy like Kazmir had upside. And the downside is he's hurt. You know, it's not like they ever had a guy who they were just throwing out every fifth day because they were paying him money and he was terrible, which you see on a lot of teams a lot of times. And that wasn't the case. And so injury risk contracts are a little bit different. And, you know, but yeah, they did pay Kemp and other guys after they were gone just because they wanted to, you know, Friedman had to get rid of the previous regime's contracts sometimes.
Yeah, and plus, you know, guys like Kazmir and McCarthy weren't expected to be one, two starters. It's three and below, yeah. Which is, you know, I'll take that.
Yep. All right, our next question, also from Mikhail Georgian. He asks, are there any players who lost their jobs, minor leaguers, who should be seriously considered by the Dodgers front office?
I will say I do not really know. I don't remember seeing any big reactions to any of these minor leaguers that got released. I do believe that the Dodgers will have interest in some of them. I'm sure there's some that maybe they've had, you know, they kind of have lists of players that they're interested in or on other teams and stuff like that. So I'm sure once it all opens up, they may go after some of these guys. But at least for me, off the top of the head, I don't remember seeing any big reactions to any of these guys being lost. I know that kind of sucks as an answer, but that's how it is.
Yeah, the fact is these guys got released because their current organizations didn't see them as future big leaguers. And so no, there aren't going to be any names that jump out to guys like you and me or the average fan. Some real prospect hounds might have some thoughts on some of the guys, but you know, but I definitely wouldn't be surprised to see the Dodgers pick up a few of these guys based on potential, you know, and just, you know, see if their player development system can help turn them into something. You know, the Dodgers have had success with lower round draft picks at times, and I could see them taking kind of that approach on some of these guys. Here's a guy who, if he had been available in the 20th round a couple years ago, yeah, we would have drafted him. So let's sign him now and see if we can turn him into something. But I think for the most part, I'd be pretty surprised if anybody who's been released in the last couple weeks ever, you know, makes an all-star team or anything like that in the big leagues. Or, you know, maybe I might even be surprised if any of them ever became a regular on a big league team.
Yeah, that's just the nature of what it was. And like we said the other time, a lot of those guys probably were going to get released around spring training anyways. It just sucks that, you know, the timing of it was just weird now. All right. Sausage Fingers at Salty Sarcasms asks, will the Dodgers re-sign Justin Turner? As we all know, this is the final year of Justin Turner's deal. Jeff, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I just want to say a sarcastic Twitter handle and the name Sausage Fingers. I had to double check and make sure I didn't send this question in. But it wasn't these Sausage Fingers. It was somebody else's. Yeah. The Justin Turner question is so hard to answer because a lot of it comes down to what Justin Turner wants to do, you know, because and it was going to be interesting if we had gotten a full 2020 season to see how he was, because he did kind of take some steps back defensively last year. But this year there's going to be the DH, and, you know, if they do play, and we don't know for sure that it would just be a one-year thing with the DH. If the DH became a permanent part of the National League, I definitely see a spot for Turner remaining on the Dodgers. Even if it didn't, I could see it for another year, maybe. I know, I'm just kind of thinking about the possibility of Nolan Arenado opting out of his contract and wanting to come home and play for the Dodgers. Yeah, but I feel like JT is so... And we heard Dave Roberts talking about JT on Joe and Oral's podcast the other week, and basically saying what he wants is for JT to eventually be a coach with the Dodgers and, you know, maybe even the Dodgers manager someday. And, you know, I love having JT as part of the Dodgers. I think JT loves being a part of the Dodgers. I think he loves being, this doesn't sound right. I was going to say he loves being a hero in Southern California where he grew up, and not in a egotistical way. Just, I think he loves being able to do good for the community he grew up in, you know? And so, obviously there's other factors at play. But I sincerely hope that JT will be back in some capacity, and but it's hard to tell exactly what that would be because we don't know what his defense is going to look like in 2020 or especially in 2021. And we don't know. We assume he'll keep hitting because he's basically done nothing but hit since the Dodgers signed him. But it's, I think the few games we do get in this year will be pretty instructive.
Yeah, I think it hurts and helps, I guess, if Turner had some crazy year, he could have maybe parlayed that into a somewhat decent contract, even at his age, just because, you know, he was a late bloomer. So there's and third base isn't, it's demanding, but it's not the crazy demanding like a shortstop or something like that. So maybe this short year will kind of help, I guess, the Dodgers in a way where even if he does have a crazy year, you know, a 50 game, if it's only 50 games or so, you can kind of maybe chalk that up to a hot streak, or teams will do whatever they want to not pay guys as much. But yeah, I think the fact that there's no hot shot third baseman ready to step in, at least in the organization, and the, like you said, the fact that Justin Turner loves playing in LA, I don't think he wants to play anywhere else. And I think he could be had maybe on a 2-year deal or maybe even a 3-year deal, not as expensive as his last one, knowing that, hey, if a guy becomes available or something of that nature, or you kind of decline a little bit, you may lose some playing time, kind of how he was when he first came in where he didn't really have that full playing time. So I think the Dodgers are going to re-sign him. I have no idea what the terms are going to look like because we still need to see what this season plays out to be. But I think, you know, the fact that there's not really anyone to kind of take over right away if he did leave to another team is going to help on his side.
Yeah. Hey, Vince, I have a really important update, okay? I remembered one other thing I know about Rudy Cianez, which is that for some reason I get him mixed up with Paul Shuey, both Indians relievers in the early 90s. And it was actually Paul Shuey who I predicted would win the 1994 American League Rookie of the Year Award, not Rudy Cianez. And it was because I must have made this prediction early in the season, because on May 14th, in Paul Shuey's second career appearance, he had 4 strikeouts in his 1 inning of pitch. Faced 6 batters in 1 inning, walked 2 of them, struck out 4 of them. And so having a 4 strikeout inning in his second career appearance, I just knew Paul Shuey was going to be it. But the fact is, Paul Shuey is not Rudy Cianez. And although Paul Shuey later was a Dodger, he was not today's obscure former Dodger. So we at the Snyder household regret the error, and we'll try our best to do better to remember the difference between Rudy Cianez and Paul Shuey in the future.
Yeah, I mean, they're both obscure former Dodgers now, so at least their confusion is, you know, there's a lot of common occurrences with them, I guess.
Yeah, they're nothing alike. No, they both have last names that start with S and played for the Indians in the early 90s, and that's about it. So, but all right. All right, we have another question for me to read, right?
Yes.
Yeah, this one is from our buddy Clint Pasillas at RealFRG, one of the hosts of the
Blue Heaven
podcast on Dodgers Nation. He asks, with all this very public infighting and baseball and the greed and the drama, where does your love for the game stand today?
So, all this stuff doesn't really affect my love of the game yet. If there's action, you know, a 50-game season would put a little damper on it. The normal 80-game season I'd be fine with. You know, all the negotiations and all that, it's not going to put too much on me because that's the nature, that's the reality of it. Would I prefer they not negotiate through the media? Yes. But do I know what the reality is? Yes, also. So I'm not going to be too upset with that part of it. Until there's like a crazy, if there's no season and there could have been a season, it's going to change. But it's hard for me to hate the Dodgers. Would I maybe watch less MLB baseball? Possibly. Am I going to watch less Dodger baseball? I don't think so. So it's not going to change that aspect for me. I know there have been people I've talked to and they're already getting fed up with it. And that's fine. I mean, you're welcome to feel how you feel. But I think the big thing for me is I'm still going to watch every Dodger game, but I won't be watching every MLB game or, you know, tuning in whenever if the Dodgers aren't playing.
Yeah, and I think that's basically where I am too. The way I see it is you and I and a lot of people listening to this remained Dodger fans through the Frank McCourt years. And, you know, for that matter, some of us a little bit older, I guess even you remember this because Piazza was your favorite player, through the Fox years when they traded Mike Piazza. We are very familiar with the concept that something wonderful can be run by garbage people. And we can still love the wonderful thing despite the garbage people. And so I will be angry and upset and without being too melodramatic, a little bit heartbroken if they don't get a season in this year because they can't figure out their dumb little money squabbles. But it won't affect my love of the game being baseball, not MLB. I will have plenty of harsh words for MLB and the owners, but it wouldn't affect my love of baseball. And as soon as the Dodgers were available for me to watch again, I would be right back there watching. If I survive Frank McCourt, I survived the 94 strike too. You know, you aren't old enough to remember that, Vince, but a lot of us are. And I mean, like I said the other day, that was my whole senior year in high school, basically from August 12th, right before my senior year started, until March, late March of my senior year, there was no baseball and no baseball on the horizon. And, I survived that, and that's a very formative time. And it didn't dampen my love of the game at all, but I know it did for a lot of people. And so, like you said, I think we'll lose some of the more casual fans just because, you know, you out of sight, out of mind. And if there's not a season this year, I think there are people who won't come back. But I think the diehards like us will be back. But it'll still have an impact because, like you said, yeah, I'm not going to turn on and watch a Yankees-Red Sox game if I'm mad at MLB. It's hard enough to watch those 18-hour games anyway.
Yeah. I know my dad is already getting fed up with it. He said he's ready to go to Korea and just be a KBO super fan, but we'll see. I hope that doesn't happen, but we'll see what happens, I guess.
I wanted to ask you about Korea, Vince. We had an episode where we picked our favorite team. We ended up picking the same team. How much Korean baseball have you watched?
I've watched I'll watch a little bit every day when my dad watches, but see where I'm at, there's no DVR, so I'd have to like go find it or watch the replay. So I haven't watched too much, but when I do watch it, it's interesting.
Yeah, it just didn't do it for me. My sons are both playing baseball now, so I'm watching their games, so I'm getting my baseball fix. And so what I'm missing isn't baseball. I'm missing baseball that I care about, and Korea isn't filling that Jones for me. I even though I picked a favorite team, I don't care. It's hard for me to pronounce a lot of the players' names, hard for me to remember who's who, And so I tried to watch it. I tried to enjoy it. And I'll still, you know, I don't mind if it's on. It's still baseball. It's fun to watch, but it's not worth staying up late for me to watch or getting up early or anything. So I'm sad that it didn't work out for me.
Yeah, the Dinos are doing well, and they got a stud pitcher who's dominating right now. So,
well, good for us. Go Dinos.
We're doing good.
Yeah.
All right, Jeff. Anything else to add before we head out?
No, just that Paul Shue and Rudy Cienes are still different people.
Yeah, thank you for reminding us.
Yep.
Thank you all for listening to Locked On Dodgers. We'll be back tomorrow to close out the week talking about something related to baseball or the Dodgers. Who knows what that'll be, but that's why I have to come back tomorrow to find out. Remember, you can subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts, Apple preferably, if you have it, because that helps us out. Rate and review on there as well, because that also helps us out. You can tell your friends, tell your family, tell other people in your life who like the Dodgers about our podcast, and maybe they'll like it as well. Make sure you're downloading and listening every day. Go ahead and follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers, and apparently Vin Scully tribute page, who tweeted out our links this week. Thank you for whoever that was. You can follow Jeff on Twitter at Snydog. You can follow me at Vince Samperio. You can call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text at 323-863-LOCK-5625. Or you can shoot us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
We will talk to you tomorrow.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!